Hey guys, Brandon Dawson here with the Tribal Christians. Welcome. Thanks for tuning in. Today is Wednesday, March 6th, 2024. It's around 5 o'clock, so I'm on my commute home. On my way home from work today, this evening, or afternoon. So, there's been some different articles and discussions that have come up today that I want to talk about, and a lot of this revolves around the Northeast Coast prophecies with various different threat assessments concerning specifically with the Northeast areas, having to do with several videos, several series of videos I have recently published and goes back several years. So if you guys are new to our channel, one of the things that I have been predominantly focused on and talking about, it's been what I have personally coined and called the Northeast Coast Prophecies, which is a series of prophetic visions and words that are focused on the United States, specifically on our most northeastern areas, specifically New York City, Washington, D.C., Boston, and Baltimore. And getting into specific events dealing with that is coming calamity and disasters that will be coming and targeting the United States. And most likely, I believe, will have to do with, is having to deal with World War III and primarily the transition into the end times, the War of Gog and Magog, the beginning of the tribulation period. So, I've got a book coming out on it that will be coming out really soon. You can find information about that on our main page of our website. So I have been putting out a series of videos and alerts, keeping a very close eye on certain things having to deal with that type of thing in nature. Now, just to kind of give you guys a background of where I am coming from. Now, I'm very unique in the fact that I'm not just a pastor. I don't just serve in ministry. I'm not just in the prophetic ministry or whatnot. I have a very specific skill set where my professional experience in the last 15 to 20 years has been in law enforcement with various different law enforcement agencies, including the military, specifically in combat roles, combat nature. I was infantry. So I have a tremendous amount of experience that deals with threat assessments, with the general well-being, welfare of the public, having to deal with different law enforcement capacities, and understanding just in general that entire atmosphere that goes around with it. So that you guys understand where I am coming from, that this stuff isn't just, I'm not just some random Joe just talking about this. Like, I know what I'm talking about. And I am still currently in the industry. Now, that being said, so there has been some, now again, what I just want to reference this real quickly. That over the last couple weeks or so, 2 or 3 weeks, I have put out several videos. If you have not watched them, I would definitely watch them. I put out 3 specific videos that I want to mention to you. One of them talking about the cyber threats and the cyber attacks against the United States and the cyber threat capabilities of China against the United States. I have talked a lot about China and China's involvement and what their role will be, specifically will be concerning World War III. And I believe it will be China that will be the very first one that will attack the nation. So if you have not seen any of those videos yet, you know, just go back. Just recently put out another video about warnings having to deal with that. And then I have also put out several videos talking about what has happened behind the scenes, prophetically speaking, with President Trump, what happened with the 2020 elections, and the very real warning. This is God's warning, not specifically just in the nation, but also specifically to the President Trump his previous administration, and to the church, the entire church, because there were some things that the church has been involved with that caused a whole heap of consequences over the nation. So I've got some of those videos out that you guys need to watch and pay attention to. A lot of people are just kind of laughing things off. They're not taking it seriously, right? I just did another video about the coming solar eclipse. I call it, that video is called the coming Jonah eclipse. 40 days, the Jonah eclipse. There's 40 days between that eclipse and Pentecost Sunday. So I'm not going to get into all the details about that. Just want to go back and watch it. But I know that there's been a million videos on the topic matter, but I have specifically a lot of information I get into that nobody talks about. Nobody understands a lot of the context behind some of the things that are happening that you're not going to find anywhere else out there on the internet. So if you really want to understand in the bigger picture, the bigger context, go back and watch that video. So we have a lot going on. There's a lot of things happening. And as I always say, there are no such things as a coincidence. Absolutely none. And especially in my years of experience of working in law enforcement, you know, anyone who works in law enforcement will tell you that there's no such thing as a coincidence. So, and it's 100% correct, 100% true. So there's a lot of things happening out there right now. So there's been a lot of talk going on with Elon Musk with the Twitter or the X post that he's made, who revealed that the Biden administration it's been confirmed that the Biden administration has been secretly flying in by plane, you know, flying in illegal immigrants, people unvetted, people, they have no idea who any of these people are, from these areas, people from these areas and nations that have housed terrorist organizations, people very hostile to the United States, and they have been flying them in to the nation, been flying them in. I think the number was somewhere around 350,000 people that are here, unvetted, from hostile nations that host terrorist organizations against the United States. And the Biden administration has flown these people in secretly and just dropping these people off. Now, I'm not going to get into all the conspiracy theories behind that. You know, you'll go down rabbit trails forever. You know, it's just, I do not follow conspiracy theories. I don't get into that. I stay focused on the Bible. I stay focused on the facts, things that I absolutely know for certain that are credible. So, now, again, 350,000 people, unvetted, illegal immigrants. There's been some serious conspiracy theories out there. They have talked about why the Biden administration is doing this or why they have done it. I read several articles today that talked about Syrian ISIS leaders or Taliban people that are here from Syria that the Biden administration has flown in, who are here to target and assassinate President Trump. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't know. I just know that there have been several articles in the news, various different media outlets, and different talk radio stations are actually talking about that. So there might be some credibility to it. I think I read somewhere an article that the FBI is actually trying to track these people down, that there is actually a credible threat. Now, in addition to this, I just read today, I think this just came out not that long ago, that Kathy Hochul, whatever her name is, Kathy crazy person, for all I know, from out of New York, has authorized, I believe, at least 750 National Guard members has called them up and activated them to deploy, along with the what the state police and the I can't remember what it's called, the Port Authority, to go in there and conduct searches of civilians on the subway systems and all those different ports and terminals. So they have gone through just now activating the National Guard to deploy to help conduct searches throughout the subway in these different ports to help in an effort to deter, they said the language that was used was to deter crime, to deter, catch, and prevent crime from happening, maybe active shooter situations or whatnot, you know. Now, you can read into that however way that you want. Now, me personally, right, the way that I see it and just my general sense about it is we know that we've got millions of unvetted people that are coming into the border, unvetted, undocumented. We have no idea who these people are. And just to give you an idea that this is targeting the entire nation, not just Texas, not just New York, I believe I read an article not that long ago in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I'm currently based out of, where our ministry is at. I believe that there was some kind of survey or census that was done. 300,000 undocumented illegal immigrants in Charlotte, North Carolina, 300,000 people in the city and have no idea who these people are or where they come from. Now, that I believe I came across that article about a year ago, so I'm sure the number is much higher than that. It's just to give you an idea how bad this really is, and the crime has gone through the roof in Charlotte. And what they are doing in New York City, they are doing the exact same things here in Charlotte. I know because I was in law enforcement, involved with some of these things, having to take people in on arrest, having to take them in, arrest certain individuals for certain crimes, take them in to the magistrate, only to see them get put right back out on the street. And all this stuff, and they turn around the next day, they go around and some end up killing somebody. So I know what I'm talking about. It's bad. It is really bad. And a lot of it does not get reported. So now I'm not telling you all this stuff to put fear into you guys or anything like that. And I'm going to kind of explain this here in a moment, how this ties into the Northeast Coast prophecies. But anyways, so you've got millions of people here. We have no idea where they're coming from. And just recently I was talking about this, especially in the last video I did about China. There has been a 70% increase, right? A 70% increase in the illegal immigrants that they are actually catching of people, military age men from China, right? Chinese illegal immigrants that are being caught now at the border. It's been a 70% increase. So we're not just dealing with Iran and Syria, Yemen, some of these really hostile areas. We're also not just dealing with the cartels. We're dealing with real foreign adversaries against the United States. So these guys, can you imagine, right? These guys get jobs somewhere, somehow get through the system. For example, in New York City, they don't have to have an ID or anything, and they can vote in city elections. They can get out there and vote for, you know, school boards. In San Francisco, I believe there's an illegal immigrant that is, or a non-U.S. citizen, I don't know if they're legally here or not, that is on the voter on the board of elections out there in San Francisco, you know. So these people, they get in the jobs, they get into key positions and have influence into things. You know, I'm starting to believe that the attacks that happened with AT&T not that long ago, AT&T said was an internal error, was it possibly an insider sabotage caused by something like this? Very possible. I don't know. So Anyway, so we got, they're out there. Again, my personal thoughts on what's going on with, you know, activating the National Guard is I don't think that this is just about deterring crime in general, because yes, crime is really bad, thanks to all the policies that they have put in place in New York, and just the complete erosion of the justice system there. But I believe that this is something bigger. I think we are looking at levels of terroristic threats, that type of level of certain things and potentials that are now present in New York because of all of the people coming in that we have no idea who they are or where they have come from. And we know that these people are very hostile. They don't have the ideologies and things like that that we have as Americans or as citizens here. You know, the absolute love for our nation, you know, that love that comes from the gospel, the love that comes from loving your neighbor, you know, the love of selflessness and sacrifice. And these people, these nations, they don't have that and are very hostile to it. So I'm thinking that there is probably very real credible threats for some terroristic type things to really happen and occur. And I think I just read there was someone else that came out. Now, I'm sorry, forgive me, because I'm kind of brain dead at the moment. I don't know where this came out, but I just read this or heard it today. You know, that somebody, there was a quote in a news article that came out and said, this could have been from Elon Musk, I'm not sure, but they came out and said that Biden is essentially laying the groundwork for another 9/11 to occur, but it would be 10 times worse than 9/11. So I wish I could recall the quote or where it came from. But essentially, Biden has paved the way for an attack much worse than 9/11. Now, that's very important to know in reference, because when I very, very first, right, the very beginning of the revelations that were revealed to me and given to me concerning the Northeast Coast prophecies started in 2017, all the way back to June of 2017 and December of 2017. And it's one of the very first articles or words that is published on our website. You can go back and read it, where the very first visions and dreams that I had that launched my entire prophetic ministry was concerning another type of terroristic or military attack that happened against New York City. Now, when I first saw it, I didn't have all the pieces. I had no idea what was going on or why it was happening. Had no idea. Over the years, those things were revealed to me. But at the time, I thought that this was only isolated to New York. Now, again, over the years, I have had several. The Lord has added pieces to that, added information to it, and I have expanded my knowledge as to certain events related to it. So now I know it's not just isolated to New York or New York City. Although I do believe that New York City will have it the worst, but I understand now, as looking back on it and over the years of ministering in these aspects concerning Northeast Coast prophecies, I know that this is going to be widespread, but mainly targeting our northeastern parts of the nation. But you can go back and you can read some of those very early publications that I made. I had no idea until years, you know, several years had passed by realizing what was happening. And at the time, I was actually living in New York City when I was having these visions, you know. Since then, the Lord has moved us out of there, and thankfully. So, but you can go back and read them. And when I very first saw and encountered those visions, I saw the damage. I saw the aftermath of what had occurred. And the only way that I could explain it at that time was something that reminded me of 9/11, but it was 10 times worse than 9/11. And it wasn't just the World Trade Center or the World Trade Center buildings of 9/11 that came down. This was the entire city. Now, over the last several years, I've had several visions relating to New York City. I have seen all these fires. I've seen an event happening where there's massive amounts of fires just happening all over the place. I've seen it to where I didn't know exactly what was causing the fires, but there was debris and fire that was coming out of the sky. So it could have been a combination of missiles. It could have been maybe some meteors. I don't know. But all I know is that there were fires and explosions happening everywhere. And there were fires on the ground level. There were fires that were happening on the skyscrapers way up. So it was all over. And that's how it started. It starts right around 4 to 4:30 in the afternoon. 4 to 4:30 in the afternoon. It starts with these fires. It is so bad that the entire sky is completely just red hot orange. You know, when the news and all those articles are put out covering all the wildfires that are happening, and you see those images of the skies and how the skies look just red from the fires, well, this is how it looked. And then after the fires start breaking out, you can see massive panic happening. One of the things I noticed was that people were fleeing, trying to get to the airports and fly out. But of course, all the airports were grounded because of the fires. None of the planes or anything were taken off. All the airports were shut down. So another aspect that I saw were people, because this was how bad it was, people were so desperate to get out that they were trying everything. They were going to boats. They were trying to leave on boats. They were trying to leave on the ferries, all the different boats and ferries and whatnot. So they were trying to get on those to try and get out of the city. And that's when I saw a massive 300-foot tidal wave barreling towards New York City. And I know the height. The reason why I know the height of the tidal wave is because my wife had the same dream. My wife had the same dream, and she said that she saw water over the entire city. And the only thing that was visible from the city, like if you're looking up at the Statue of Liberty, was the torch of the Statue of Liberty. So from the Statue of Liberty is a little over 300 feet. 317 feet, I think, if I remember correctly. So that tells me that whatever, something happens, there's a massive tidal wave, 300 feet, that barrels over the city and covers it. So all this happens at once, it happens around the same time. Now, I have had videos where I saw these events happening near the winter seasons, like Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, around that time. So I've had videos where I've seen these events happening during the Christmas times, multiple different events. I see Christmas trees, Christmas lights, things like that. But I have also had dreams where I saw the attacks happening in the summertime. So I can't say if it happens in the summertime or in the wintertime. However, over the years, I've been given several different key pieces of information that have come to pass or are very close to coming to pass. So there's a lot of personal dreams and prophecies or things that the Lord has given to me that revolve around when these attacks happen, and that I have not shared just because they are personal, and some of it is confidential information I just can't put out there, just the sensitivity of, you know, certain elements. But I can tell you that a lot, I think almost everything that I have seen, especially personally, has come to pass. And there were certain elements that I intentionally did everything I could to avoid, to keep from happening, and it still happened. So that being said, things can happen in any moment. It can very well happen in any moment. You know, and if you go out, you do a Google search, YouTube search, you know, you'll find hundreds of thousands of people having the same dreams, people talking about the same things. They're seeing, there's prophecy, you know, there's the David Wilkerson prophecy about the 1,000 fires in New York. There's tons of videos out there that God has been warning people for years about this. So, and this is nothing new. And so we're just seeing an escalation of things really being escalated. And we are, there's no question in my mind, no question of a doubt, that we most certainly are in this transition period, this transition phase. I've talked about this a lot in the last couple videos, especially the solar eclipse video, because we are in the Jewish New Year 5784 or 2024. You know, a lot of people don't pay any attention to this. They don't think anything of it. They might say it's just a coincidence. But that number 4 in the Bible represents a transition. In the Hebrew, it represents a door. It's the word or letter for the number 4 is the Hebrew letter or word for dalet, which is a door. Now, the number 4, I've talked about this again in several videos, so this might be redundant to some of you guys. But that number 4 in the Bible, it relates to time. It represents represents time. It represents the prophetic timeline, because we're having to deal with time, the very nature of time in itself. Because on the fourth day, the fourth day was when God created the sun and the moon. They were created on the fourth day, right? Now, there's a million things. Just thinking about that, there's a million and one questions, you know, so I'll probably do some separate videos on that, because there's a ton of things that get into that if you just think about it. But without the sun and the moon, how do you tell time? How do you know what time it is? You know, the reason why we have the 24-hour system that we have today, you know, we just had a leap, you know, the whole leap year thing with the extra day in February. You know, all that is because of the sun and the moon. Now, you can take it a step further, and this is where we get our four seasons from, fall, winter, spring, summer, because of climate. So without the moon, there's no gravitational effect on the tides in the ocean. Therefore, you would have no weather, no climate. Right, that was affirmed. It's affirmed by the events in Genesis chapter 2. The Bible says it didn't rain during those times, but God allowed for the water to come up from streams. And in fact, we know it didn't rain at all until the events of the flood, because of the creation of the rainbow. It was the very first time the rainbow had been presented or created as a sign. So. Can't have a rainbow without rain or without water. So we are in 5784, 2024, that number 4, having to deal with the transition period. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that. You know, I'm not going to spend the entire time talking about that, but just to tell you, there's so much stuff that you look at it, and you're like, there's no way that this can be a coincidence. Now, there is a lot of reasons why. Well, okay, so without getting into too much of the conspiracy theories, look at 9/11. Look at the events of what happened with 9/11. What surrounded that? We know for a fact that this had nothing to do with Iraq. Had nothing to do with Iraq. This was 17 Saudi nationals that came in and targeted the nation. You guys have seen all the videos. You know about everything. So, you know, there's no way in the world that the government knew that those events. There's no way in the world that the government did not know, like, these events were coming and were going to happen. And, you know, it's clear to us that they were, you know, this was a targeted operation clearly to go into Iraq because the oil fields, you know, because of the threat that Saddam Hussein posed to the petrodollar, to the U.S. dollar, the global financial stability of the global economy. I've talked about this over and over and over. And it's ultimately the real reason why Russia is at war with Ukraine and is targeting U.S. assets because of the petrodollar. The petrodollar is the currency, all the transactions that happen on all oil transactions were originally used the U.S. dollar. So I'm not going to get into all that. It's just going to, you know, I have all these different videos to talk about this. The truth behind these wars and the threats is having to deal, you know, you look at things with the U.S. dollar, with the oil, with resources, commodities, and we look at, you know, some of the real reasons why these things happen is one for, you know, governments to seize more control and more power over its people. And we know that ultimately, in the end, we will have a one-world government, a one-world system that has a one-world currency. It all boils down to that. So in one way or another, at some point in time, there has to be a transitioning point that gets us from point A to point B. And this is why Jesus said that when these things happen, you know, don't be alarmed. It is not the end yet, but these things just must happen. So, you know, again, like I said, I do these videos not to alarm anybody, but to just to come to show you how close that we really are to these events happening. The true authenticity of the Bible, 100% correct. Everything that it said would happen is happening, you know, right down to the detail. So I see these things, the National Guard deployments in New York to the, you know, the warning about all these 300 and some thousand people coming in from these hostile nations being vetted or unvetted, being intentionally and secretly brought into the country. These people can, like I said, can be strategically put into positions and places that can cause a lot of harm. And it doesn't take much. It does not take much to cause a terroristic event to happen. We're not just talking about active shooters. Not just talking about a bomb threat or something of that nature. Anything. You know, look at the wildfires that are happening in Texas. You know, anybody could have set that fire off. And that fire is occurring in the area that is right next to where the largest nuclear ammunitions plant in the United States is housed at, right? Where the largest nuclear plant that produces these ammunitions. So this massive fire is just right outside of it. In fact, I think they had an evacuation for safety measures. So these things are happening and very deliberate, very intentional. I think these intentions are obviously not good. And I think even when it boils down to things, it's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. And so what we need to be doing as the body of Christ, as the church, is now some people are just kind of sitting back and praying and hoping that the rapture happens. And, you know, I say that in all sincerity and out of all love, that it would be great if the rapture happens and comes for us. You know, that would be the perfect ideal. But I would not expect for certain levels of tribulations to occur. I would not, you know, if you look at World War I, World War II, all these massive wars that happened, you know, millions of people died. These were real events, real tribulations that occurred. So I would actually expect for some tribulations, for testing, for trials, for things to happen prior to the tribulation period, prior to the rapture. There's going to be some massive testing that occurs in the body of Christ. So our goal and our response should not only be to be very consciously aware of what is taking place, what's happening, to be aware of all these events that are happening, to be awake, and to serve as watchmen, but to really be working to get the gospel out there, to get the testimony about Jesus, the testimony of the gospel message of Christ. We should be preaching repentance, you know, as John the Baptist said, repent, for the time is near, is here, you know, the time of repentance, the kingdom of God is near and has come. We are just around the corner of Jesus' second coming. But this time there is no second chances like what we have now. Eventually, everything will be it. Time will run out, and that's it. No more second chances, no more second options, no more grace. That is it. You have either accepted Christ, you have turned away and repented from sin, or you've completely rejected him. And those consequences are going to be for all eternity. So we and Christians are at the most severe threat and danger of this. A lot of people put out these rapture videos and they talk about how these governments are going to deceive the world when the rapture happens. Some people say they'll blame it on aliens, or some people will blame it on a terrorist attack. Now, to tell you the truth, to be 100% honest, I have had dreams about the rapture. I see exactly how it occurs. You all remember where in Revelation, in the part of the gospel, Jesus says, you know, that sign that will come and people will say, but I prophesied your name, I did all these works in your name. And Jesus says, depart from me, for I never knew you. Well, I would probably say 70% of the churches today do not know Jesus. They don't know him. They're not preaching repentance in their pulpits. They're not preaching and speaking the truth. It's not enough to say that you believe in Jesus. It's not enough. Why do I say that? Because the gospel, the Bible tells us that. The book of James tells us that, you know. Even the demons believe in God. Even they believe in him. All the demons knew and recognized who Jesus was. They believed in him. That's not what saves us. What saves us is our faith and obedience in Jesus. Our faith put into action. Meaning, not only do we just pray and say all these great things and show up and help the homeless do all these great things, but that we are actively living repentant lives, and our lives are producing the fruit of our salvation. So, in the event of the rapture, right, there's going to be thousands, millions of churches and so, quote-unquote, Christians that are left behind. So, it's as if, it's like no one would even suspect the rapture happened, because all these churches and Christians are still here. You just think business is normal. Nothing out of the unusual or ordinary happens. People will be surprised, going to be extremely surprised about just how small that number is of the people that get raptured from the earth. I would call it a remnant, because people are not living out of obedience. They're not living out of the truth. You can't just pick and choose parts out of the Bible that you like and don't like. Oh, I like this, so I'm not going to do this. We have to be completely, fully obedient, fully submissive to God. That's why we say when we pray, your kingdom come and your will be done. We should be living that actively. And not just not just on Sundays or Wednesdays, but should be demonstrated in every area and aspect of our lives. And it, you know, just like what Jesus talked about, that, you know, anyone can love their neighbor, they can love a family member, anyone can love those who love them back, you know, that's easy. So obedience counts the most in the circumstances, in the events of pain, and the events of suffering, the events of sorrow, those events. You know, anyone can be obedient to God when things are good, but not many can easily be obedient to the Lord when things aren't doing so well. When this person has wronged you, and you have every reason to not forgive them, every reason in the world to not forgive them and hold that grudge against them, right? Jesus warned, that is unforgiveness. If you do not forgive the person that has committed the sins against you, then how can you be forgiven yourself? You're just as guilty, right? Jesus warned about that. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, you're not going to be forgiven. So that's one major threat that people don't even realize. If you're at work or whatever, you have those co-workers, it could be anybody. But we have to be actively living in complete full obedience in every area of our life. We have to be very consciously aware of every choice that we make. And I say this not to micromanage out of fear or worry or anything like that. These things should be motivated out of love. When it boils right down smack to it, or right smack down to it, the question is, do you truly love God? Does the love of God really reside in your heart, or does it not? Because the true authentic love of God that is in someone's heart will cause that person to love the person regardless of the circumstances, to love that person even when that person has hurt them tremendously, betrayed them, lied to them, whatever that case be. Now, this does not mean that you have to approve the lifestyle or the sins that are being committed, because that's not what I'm saying. But we are called to be that love, the light of the world in the midst of those situations. So if we're not living in obedience, that's why Jesus took it to the next step further. People think that Jesus did away with, the sin issue. He didn't. He took it a step further. He said, if you have anger in your heart, you've committed murder. How many of us have been angry at that one person and have not forgiven them? He talked about adultery. If you have looked at someone with lust, had those lust thoughts, you have committed adultery. Murder, adultery, idolatry, right? If you put anything first before God, there's anything in your life that has come first. It can be family. You can put your family first. Ministry. You can put ministry first. Work. You can put your job first. If any area in your life has become a priority and more of a priority than God, then you're guilty of idolatry. Guilty. So, guys, I say this out of love, but we as a church really need to be examining ourselves and our hearts, because some things are coming. Trials and tribulations are coming. It is coming. It's coming. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. These things can happen at any moment. And we need to be living deliberately, intentionally, faith-driven lives, There is some, if you feel like you have no, every person has a purpose. Every God-believing, Bible-believing Christian has not just a purpose, they also have gifts, areas that they are called and equipped to minister in. And it doesn't have to be massive. You don't have to be a pastor or a preacher. There are things that you can do that really make a difference. Let me ask you guys something. When was the last time you picked up the phone call or picked up your phones and called somebody and asked them how they were doing without asking anything in return, right? How many of y'all have called your mom, your dad, your grandparents, a brother, a sister? How many of y'all just called them up out of the blue and they initiated that conversation and asked them, how are they? Because I guarantee you, out of my entire family, there's maybe one or two people that actually does that. And it's very sad. How many of y'all have done that? How many of y'all have picked up the phone call, your phones, and called and asked Called, when, how many of y'all just gone next door and checked on your neighbor? How are you doing? Are you doing okay? And just was there. Most of us don't do that. And those are simple things that make a huge difference. How many of y'all have asked your spouses today, how are you? How are you doing? Husbands, how many of y'all have asked your wives today, how are you doing? No, I mean, really, how are you feeling? How are you doing? You know, everything going okay? What can I do to help you? Same thing, how, wives, how many of you guys have asked your husbands, hey, how are you doing? You know, men, we're internal. We internalize things. We keep it to ourselves. We don't just come out and say things. You know, we handle it. We like to isolate. And so it's good sometimes, you know. Hey, how you doing? You know, everything all right? Guys, man, check on your brothers, your sisters. Ask these people how they doing, man. So if you think that there's nothing that you can do to benefit the body of Christ, to serve and be a witness to those around you, you can simply just start by asking people how they're doing. You start your work, you come into the office or whatever it is you're due. You know, you start with a smile, start with a greeting. Start by genuinely asking people, how are you guys doing? Is there anything I can do for you? So guys, I think I'm already at like 45 minutes, so I could just keep on going forever. I really enjoy these moments because I actually get to really be personal and it's not just sticking to a script or something like that. I'm actually really just being open, being honest. So as always, guys, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feedback, you know, feel free to reach out to me. Comment below, send me an email. Contact us through our website. You know, I actually take the time to read things and respond to them. And I really take the time to read everything, the good, the bad, whatever it is. And your comments, your feedback really does make a difference. Sometimes I learn things just hearing from you guys, some things that I missed. So anyways, you guys have anything on, please feel free to reach out to me. You know, I will never turn anybody away. I will never, ever turn someone away. Now, as always, guys, I'm going to tell you, because it's easy to give up out there. It is, especially if you're a pastor and you're in ministry, whatever it is, don't give up. Don't give up. Even if it's just one person that you made a difference on, keep going. That one person can have an impact on millions of other people. One person matters to the kingdom of heaven, to God. So whatever you do, don't give up, even if you see the fruit or don't see it. Keep going. Don't give up. Stay encouraged. If you're down and you're struggling, the best medication for depression and mental illness is to focus on somebody else. Take the time to shift your attitude and focus on the person next to you. I guarantee you, right? You're feeling down. You're not feeling so good. You're depressed. You're worried about things. You know, just like the Bible says, give it up to the Lord and don't worry about it. So if you're struggling, all you have to do is pick up the phone, call someone, and ask them how they are doing and genuinely care. Listen to them. And I guarantee you, next thing you know, you're listening to them and you're finding yourself encouraging them. And through that, you're going to encourage yourself. And by the end of that conversation, you might have to call 3 or 4 people until that spirit of depression is off of you. But I guarantee you, it works. I guarantee it. Call 3 or 4 people. Reach out to your neighbors. And I guarantee you that'll cure that depression, that fog that's over you. It'll shift your entire attitude. Focus on other people. Focus on the selflessness of it. Focus on the love aspect of it. And watch your entire world change. So, guys, that's going to conclude it. And God bless you guys. I hope you're doing great out there. Again, reach out to me if you've got anything. And, again, stay encouraged. Keep running your race. Keep fighting the good fight of faith, guys. And never, ever, ever give up.